Well, as most of us are aware and have already mentioned, Israel is once again in a state of war. This news is disconcerting as it reminds us again of the reality that we are living in a fallen world. And yet it should be no surprise to us, because Jesus himself even said that and as his disciples, that we would hear rumors of wars, that wars would go on, there would be famine and trouble in the world, and yet we are not to worry, for he has overcome the world. I think the reminder again of this conflict in Israel makes us ever more thankful that we live in a place, in a country that is relatively peaceful and devoid of conflict. You know, I can't really remember a time when somebody actually declared war in Canada. Like, really, why would you? But we continue to uphold the nations in conflict, as well as the fellow believers there and the aid workers there in prayer. As we've shared verses that speak about giving thanks to God, I'm reminded of verses that were written by the Israelites across the generations who were no stranger to conflict with other nations, which were recorded in their Hebrew Bible, which we know as the Old Testament. If you read in Psalm 95, verse 2, the psalmist writes, "Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise." In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 34, the historian writes, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And then we read in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1 through 6, and here the prophet Isaiah himself said, "You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth." These are some very favorite verses that Christians today continue to refer to when thinking about giving thanks or the season of thanksgiving. I'm sure some of you have probably read these verses and they have encouraged you, I hope, as they have encouraged me in my life. These are wonderful verses because they offer us confidence, comfort, and God's assurance. However, I think it's helpful to read these verses in their context, for it seems that the authors then, if you read these verses, were just in a constant state of thanksgiving, always encouraging the Israelites to just give thanks, give thanks, give thanks. Like, they're just happy, happy, joy, joy all the time. And you're like, I don't think that's really what was going on. You see, if you read all of Psalm 95, you discover that actually it's a psalm of thanksgiving after a period of 40 years when the nation of Israel had hardened their hearts. It was actually out of a disappointment because they were disappointed that they weren't able to enter the promised land sooner than they should have. They actually had to wander in the desert for 40 years before God would receive them back. And so it's because that while they were in the desert, that God had not abandoned them. In fact, he was with them the whole time. And then finally, they were able to go back into the they're finally able to enter into the promised land, that the psalmist writes, now we can give thanks. Give thanks. That while we were out in the desert, God was still with us, but and he's for us. And now we're back, we're now finally in the promised land, and we give this thanks, this psalm of thanksgiving. Psalm 1 Chronicles 16 recounts when the Israelites recovered the ark, and I'm referring to the Ark of the Covenant, after it was lost in battle to the Philistines. As we all know, the ark was an important symbol of God's presence and glory. And when they lost it in the war, they were like just discouraged. They're like, oh no, they took our symbol of God's presence. Now God has left us, and we have no place to worship God. What are we going to do? And of course, then they end up, after a while, they end up going to battle again, and under the leadership of David, are able to bring back the ark to Israel. And what does David do? David sets up a tabernacle, right? Because he hasn't, at this point yet, he's not going to be able to build the temple. It's his son that's going to do that. So in essence, what he ends up doing is he builds a tabernacle, which really just is a tent. And they were able to place the ark in this tent. A joy of joys and thanksgiving. The Israelites were now able to bring their sacrifices again to the tabernacle. They now had a place to go before when they lost the ark, there was no place to go. And then, this is the cool part, he appoints priests who will lead worship with the harp, the lyre, and the cymbals. It was a joyful noise because God's presence was with us again. We can come before God again. He wasn't captured by the Philistines. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12 is a hymn of praise to celebrate the return of Israel to their homeland after their exile in Babylon. So now, rather than the ark taken away, now the Israelites have actually been exiled to Babylon after they were taken over. And they were in the nation of Babylon for over 100 years. And their whole desire is to come back home. They wanted to come home. But they knew they also couldn't go home because part of the punishment of Israel's disobedience was this exile. A whole generation had to pass before God would again go and bring them back. In fact, the hymn describes God as the one who saves and restores Israel. These verses are call to give thanks amidst disobedience, discouragement, and displacement. In Canada, our nation's government officially declares Thanksgiving as a day of general thanksgiving to an almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. And indeed, we want to give thanks for all that God has provided. Our homes, our jobs, all the fruits of our labors, all the food we want to eat, it's all available to us. And it's easy to give thanks when life is going well. But these verses also remind us to offer thanks during the difficulties of life. For we believe and trust in our God, who does not disappoint, tempt us to despair, or denounce his own. I have thought about this, and I put it to you as well. Do we ever give thanks to God for those hard times in our lives? Or do we just curse God and die? Because I think when we give thanks to God for those difficult times in our lives, the thanks that we're giving is a little bit more, I don't know how you say it, more nuanced, more appreciative, because you know the struggle that you've come through. And maybe at that time, you couldn't see it for what it was, that what God was doing in our lives, shaping us, molding us in the people to the people He would desire us to be. Today, we are also giving thanks, and maybe this is weird to say this, for the freedom to be baptized and be received into membership of our brother. Maybe it doesn't cross our mind at all that it is a privilege to be baptized, that we have this ability here and the freedom to be baptized and received into membership. As the Israelites gave thanks to God as the one who saves, we give thanks for our salvation. We who were once sinners and separated from God, through placing our belief and trust in Jesus, we are now reconciled and restored to Him. Can we give thanks? Because you guys don't seem like you want to give thanks for that. Let me say that again. We who were once sinners and separated from God, through placing our belief and trust in Jesus, are now reconciled and restored to Him. Can we say amen? Amen. Come on. This is the thing to really give praise and thanks to God. Here's another odd thing to think about. Have you ever given thanks for the sacraments of baptism and membership? You know, in our MB confession, baptism by immersion is a powerful testimony that a believer has been washed by the Spirit, has died with Christ to sin, and has been raised to newness of life. It's not just some sacred ritual we have in our Christian faith. It's not even a rite of passage. It is a gift. It is a gift of renewal. That the old has gone, that the new has come. I give thanks for the day I was baptized. I don't actually remember the day anymore, but I know it was in July of 2001. You know, and I have been a believer at that point for almost 8 years, 7 years, something to that effect. But I hadn't taken this path of obedience to be baptized. And part of that has to do with some of my family dynamics. But in the end, I had to come to this conviction that if I was going to be a follower of Christ, I need to go and be baptized. And so I remember that day, and being going out into the Fraser River and just having, and being able to be a part of this, having this freedom to be able to go and be baptized. And just the feeling of knowing that, I know we're just, you know, doing a baptism right here, but the idea that, yeah, you, as you go into the water, your past sins are forgiven, everything you've ever done, you know, that separated you from God, that's gone, and then you come back up again. And you're a new person. You are renewed. And then, in our MB confession, when one becomes baptized, one is then also welcome into a new family. We are welcomed into a new community of other fellow redeemed people living by love, which transcends all racial, social, and national barriers. And I think we need to give thanks for that. Really, we do. That Christianity has no barriers to anyone, to God. And I'd like to, just invite you to recall your own baptism and your own membership experience as I lead us into a Thanksgiving prayer. Join me, please. Dear Father God, thank you for your amazing power and work in our lives. Thank you for your goodness and for your blessings over us. Thank you for your great love and care. Thank you for your sacrifice that we might have freedom and life. Forgive us when we don't thank you enough for who you are, for all you do, and all you've given. Help us to set our eyes and our hearts on you afresh. Renew our spirits. Fill us with your peace and joy. We love you and we need you this day and every day. We give you praise and thanks, for you alone are worthy. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.